Okay, good to see everybody. You can turn your Bibles over to Genesis 32. Yeah. It'd be in verses 22 and through 32 here in just a moment. In Scripture, our relationship with God is compared to many different things. Paul compares Christian life to a race, does that a couple times, as well as the Hebrews writer. We have the idea of a sacrifice. Think of Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2, talking about our lives being a living sacrifice. In Jesus' parables, he continually is comparing one's relationship with God to different things that people would have seen around them, things like a wedding banquet, or uses farming analogies to talk about this life with God. You have a wedding banquet. He talks about it in that way. Also, talk about a relationship with God in the sense of a marriage. Husband and a wife type of relationship is what is experienced when one lives in relationship with God, that kind of love and intimacy and most importantly, faithfulness toward one another. You think about probably the most common is God as Father, and we are His children. There again, we get an image, an idea of what living in relationship with God is like. I'd like us tonight to think about our relationship with God being like a wrestling match. That's what we see in Genesis 32, starting in verse 22. We're going to see a match between God and one of His people, Jacob. And so I think as we sort of walk away from our lesson tonight, I'd like us to think about being in a wrestling match with God. So let's go ahead and get into that text, starting at verse 22, Genesis 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He was going to his home country to meet Esau. And if you remember, he is not real crazy about this encounter that he's about to have with his brother. Their past is on shaky ground. And so Jacob is sending a whole lot of possessions ahead of him to sort of butter Esau up a little bit, getting ready for this awkward encounter that they're about to have. So that's what's taking place. Verse 23. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions, lots of animals. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. This person who wrestles with Jacob at this point is not identified. We're just told that it was a man. Verse 25. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. So is this an indication of the man's power that he was able to hurt Jacob's hip just by touching it? Verse 26. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So Jacob says, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob was apparently aware of who this man was, or at least he had some sort of indication of who he was, because he desires a blessing from him. Verses 27 and 28. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." There's a name change here. No longer Jacob, but Israel. 29 and 30. Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So this man here, and verse 29, he responds to Jacob's question with a question. Then he blesses him. Note here, there's no indication of the blessing. Verse 30. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Jacob, in this moment, realizes that he was wrestling with God himself. It's interesting that, well, let's look over at, to see why this is interesting, let's look over at Exodus 32 and verse 20. Remember what God himself said in Exodus 32, verse 20. He said, this is an encounter with Moses. He said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." So Jacob was pretty surprised that he was still living because he was able to see God face to face. He understood in this moment that this was grace. He had wrestled with God. He had seen him, and yet he was spared. There's some question about what's the significance of daybreak here? Was it perhaps when it was fully day that Jacob would have seen God's face more clearly, and at that point he would have died? I don't know, but at daybreak, it was time for this match to be done. Verses 31 and 32. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So as Jacob walks away, first of all, he walks away. That's pretty incredible in itself, wrestling with God. But he walks away changed. Now, as he walks away, he's limping. And this is significant. The Israelites, it's noted here in the passage, it says, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip. They remember this important event. So what do we learn about our relationship with God from this text? What do we learn about God? What do we learn about humankind? What do we learn about ourselves from this text? I'm going to throw out four different ideas. First of all, a wrestling match with God, we think about it in the context here, is only possible because God makes himself available for this wrestling match. That in itself is an act of grace. We're talking about the Creator here, all-knowing, all-powerful. But what we see is that God is self-limiting in his interaction with Jacob. He's self-limiting. He steps into a human form as he wrestles with Jacob. Jacob recognizes this person as a man, but yet God. And think about this. Jacob can't struggle with God. Jacob can't struggle with God if God refuses to be engaged, right? God chooses to be engaged with Jacob in this wrestling match. God couldn't overpower Jacob in this match. Now, that's interesting in itself. And there's no indication in the text that God is playing games with Jacob. If you've ever watched WWE, maybe you did a long time ago, maybe you don't want to admit to ever watching it. You know how one fighter will sort of taunt the other one, kind of jump around the ring. And this happens in boxing matches or MMA fights as well. There's no indication of that, but this is a hard fought wrestling match. That's the picture we get in Genesis 32. So we have to ask the question, why did God choose not to overpower Jacob? Why did God choose not to overpower Jacob? I think this is an expression of our incarnational God, a God who is self-limiting for the sake of humankind. God doesn't overpower us. He engages us. He partners with us. He disciplines us, but he doesn't overpower us. That's apparently not the way that he works. Secondly, this wrestling match, what we see here in Genesis 32, by wrestling with God, what we see with Jacob is he walks away, he's limping, and he also has a new name. In a relationship with God, wrestling with God means a new name for us as well. So his name becomes Israel, wrestles with God. Jacob and the people are not just wrestlers. This is important. They're not just wrestlers. They're wrestlers with God. God is with them in this relationship. He's not going anywhere, but he engages them. He partners with them. And we think about the importance of name in Israelite or Jewish culture. Name changes almost always, I won't speak definitively here, but almost always indicate a change in one's mission and identity. We think of Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, and then later on, Cephas to Peter, Saul to Paul. With these name changes came some sort of new mission from God. You also think about the meaning of names, some that we know very well. Moses, drawn out of water. Jesus and Joshua, the Lord saves. Peter, rock. Isaac, I love this one, he laughs. Think of Abram and Sarai. Or Israel, then, wrestles with God. So I think this name, wrestles with God, Israel, it speaks to two important traits of God's people. On the one hand, it speaks of the importance of humility. This is a people who wrestle with God. We already talked about God not overpowering Jacob, but the people don't get to overpower God either, right? They wrestle with God. They never pin him down. They never totally figure God out. And we understand this, right? The Creator God, we can't get our minds around all that God is and all that God does. And remember when, this is back in Exodus chapter 3, remember when Moses asked God about his name? Remember how God responded? This name, Yahweh, I am who I am. And we say, what? What does that even mean? I am who I am. But that's God. You don't pin him down. His name is in a sense mysterious. It's above us. We can't get our minds around the name I am who I am, or I am. We can't get our minds around that. That name is only reserved for God. So it speaks of the humility. You can't pin God down. But it also speaks of strength. It takes strength to wrestle. I know this because I had a friend named Tom Cooley who would come over. Tom Cooley probably could bench 250 pounds at like the fourth grade. He's one of those guys that was having to shave before middle school. Really tough guy. Lived down the street from us. But Tom would come over, and one of his favorite activities was to either box or wrestle. He loved to fight, and he especially loved to fight me because, and this wasn't like a bully situation. This was like just boys just roughhousing. But he was really just strong. But we had tons of fun just going at it. But man, he was way stronger than me. And I realized it takes a lot of energy to wrestle, to fight. And so in high school, when you had a choice between basketball or wrestling, I chose basketball. There was no way I was gonna do wrestling. But it takes strength to wrestle. That's my point. It takes strength to wrestle. We think about this idea of a new name. I love 1 Peter 4:16. 1 Peter 4:16 says there, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we bear the name of Christ. That is an indication of our life. Our name, Christian, reminds us of our meaning, purpose, mission, and identity. So, wrestling with God gives us a new name. It also just simply changes us. As we said, Jacob walked away, but he was limping. There was a visible sign of Jacob's wrestling match. You can't wrestle with God and not be changed. Think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Transformation takes place as you relate to God, as you wrestle with God. Christians have a limp. And the limp, I don't think, is a sign of defeat. I think the limp is a sign of success. It's a sign of who our Father is. It's a sign that we have been redeemed, that we have hope, that we are new because of the one that we worship. We have a new name. And then finally, wrestling with God includes a blessing. So I want you just to think about this for a moment. What do you think the blessing was that Jacob received in that moment? We're just told that he was blessed. So often in Scripture, we're given the contents of the blessing, but not in this text. And as I sat there and as I read through this, I thought, why aren't we told in this moment what the blessing was? That would have been so, so great. But I wonder, I speculate that the new name and the limp was blessing enough. That maybe that was the blessing. It was an indication of wrestling with God and living, being changed, and having a new mission and purpose. And so for all of us, as we live in relationship with God, we recognize that we have eternal life. We have hope. We have salvation. We've been redeemed. We have this family of faith that we get to be a part of. And we are children of God. Wrestling with God, living in a relationship with God, includes a blessing. I think for all of us, we could count our blessings and we could go on and on thinking about the ways in which we have been blessed because of our relationship with God. So what does wrestling with God look like for us? Obviously, we're not at the banks of the Jabbok. We're not getting in a wrestling match in that kind of way. But what does that look like for us today? What does it mean for us to be wrestlers with God? I think we have to think about it in the context of prayer, for one, praying honestly with God about all that goes on in life, being open and transparent with our Father in prayer. When I think about wrestling with God, I think of the 22nd Psalm. I'm going to read a portion of this. I think this is a picture of wrestling with God. Psalm 22, this is attributed to David. This psalm is familiar to us, and or to many of us, because some of it is quoted while Jesus is on the cross. But listen to this. This is someone who's wrestling with God. Psalm 22, starting in verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. To you they trusted and were not put to shame. Then listen to this. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear the prey open their mouths wide against, they open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. And it goes on. This is wrestling with God. This is pouring your heart out to God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's real about one's situation. Wrestling with God involves being honest in prayer. So that's one way to think about wrestling with God is this honesty in prayer. I think another way of thinking about wrestling with God is in the idea of being a follower of Jesus. So Jesus says some things that really cause us, or to me anyways, that just make me think, really? I think of take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up this instrument of death and follow me. It's one thing that Jesus says. Think of what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. Go and sell all your possessions and take from that and give to the poor. What does that look like to do that? Love your enemies and pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you. What is that? How do we do this? And Jesus, are you aware of what the enemies are doing? But that's what Jesus says. And so one way I think about this wrestling with God is reflecting on what Jesus has called his followers to do. And I think when you reflect on that, it's going to cause some wrestling to happen. What does that look like in my life? How do I do that? And part of that is we are selfish by nature, right? And so take up your cross and follow me. And I would say, no thanks. How much can I pay to not take up my cross, right? Could someone else take up their cross for me? So I think about it in those type of terms. And so when I think about wrestling with God, I think about it first in being very honest in our prayer life. And I also think about it in truly reflecting on the teachings of Jesus, all of them. What does this really look like? So just recently, some close friends of ours, they had one of their very good friends, she's in her early 30s, that died of cancer. It was a cancer that was aggressive, and in a short amount of time, she passed away. She has, I think it's three little kids. But you look at this, and you think to yourself, why in the world does this happen? And I know, yeah, I'm kind of a sort of an outside observer of all of this, but even to see that happen, it takes me back. It takes me aback a little bit. And I think this is not right. This is not fair. My God, my God. In this case, my God, why have you forsaken Laura? You know, why? What in the world? Why have you forsaken Aaron, her husband? Why would you do this stuff if you have the ability to stop it from happening? If you were the all powerful God, if you have the ability to do it. But I think it's in the prayers, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but it's in the prayers that we wrestle with that. Why does this happen? And I think as we wrestle with it, God does something within us. Perhaps he gives us a different perspective. Perhaps he offers us some insight. Perhaps he just gives us a little bit more strength to keep on going. We might be limping, but the limping is a sign of the wrestling. If there's anybody here tonight that desires the prayers of the church family, as usual, we're just willing to pray for you. In fact, we are a community of limpers in all of this. If there's anybody here tonight that's ready to put Jesus on in baptism, we would love to witness you do that tonight. So whatever needs you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue our time of worship.